Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is Sarah Smith, and you're listening to Raw Intentions. Alrighty, guys. It is a beautiful, sunshiny day here in Breckenridge, Colorado, and I just recorded the most amazing interview that I'm so excited to bring to y'all. But before we get into this week's episode, I just wanted to give my little elevator pitch just in case this is your first time listening and you're wondering who the heck I am. So like I said in the intro, my name is Sarah Smith, Sarah with an H, Smith with a Y. I am 29 years old, born in Madison, Alabama, and currently, like I said, living in Breckenridge, Colorado, which, if you don't know, is just a cute little ski town in the mountains. I graduated from college at Auburn back in 2017, and my senior year of college, I was incredibly broke and started making handmade jewelry just out of my college apartment for myself, for my friends, and what started as a little side hustle on the side of me working at Texas Roadhouse for like 4 or 5 years of my life turned into a full-blown business brand, my baby, all of the things. So it's called Raw and Rebellious. That's at @raw_rebellious on Instagram. I've had the business for like 7, 8 years now, which is so crazy. And it's totally transformed from just handmade jewelry. We do apparel now. We do prints. We do hats. We do all kinds of things. And it's definitely turned into more of a lifestyle brand with the main focus being the community. We have such an incredible community, and it's definitely my favorite part of my business and my job. And that's what led me to start this podcast. So Raw Intentions, that's @RawIntentionsPodcast on Instagram, is just a lifeline to that community that I get to chat with via DMs every single day and a more personal, authentic connection. And it has been so much fun. Not only do I get to hear myself talk once a week, because if you have a podcast, clearly you're obsessed with yourself and have a bit of a God complex like me. But I also get to do interviews all the time with the most amazing, inspiring, interesting people, whether it's someone that's already in my life, a close friend of mine that I get to bring on the mic, or someone that I admire from afar that I feel inspired by that I get to bring on the podcast and hear their story and kind of spread their message. And that definitely speaks to our guest this week. This week on Raw Intentions, we've got Mariah Grippo, who I have followed for so freaking long. She is the right-hand man, or woman, I guess I should say, of Little Words Project, which is the iconic bracelet brand. You know it. If you don't think you know it, I promise you do. They create these handmade beaded bracelets with different words and phrases, and they've been around for a really long time and have totally exploded not only the accessory market, but their branding and their message and their why behind starting their company and doing what they do is so consistent and definitely transcends through all the growth that they've been through in the last like 8-10 years. And I'll let Mariah speak on that because she is clearly the expert. But can I just say, this episode is absolute gold. There are so many takeaways, so many amazing quotes. Mariah is so knowledgeable, so well-spoken, and also like the busiest person alive. So I'm so thankful that she took the time to come on the podcast and share her story, Little Word Project story. We talk about work, entrepreneurship, the hustle of growing and scaling a small business to a worldwide, multifaceted, like major brand. We talk about relationship advice. We talk about finding balance when you're all over the place. And we talk about some travel hacks that she has. I mean, we go into it all, and she is literally a queen. So I'm so stoked to share her story and for y'all to get to know her like I did. So without further ado, let's welcome to the podcast, Mariah Grippo. Well, I'm so excited we got to do this. I've been following you for forever and watching you do everything that you do with Little Words Project and also just like in your life. I mean, it's so inspiring and so fun to keep up with. Like, you're always up to something, and I've just loved following along. So I'm so stoked that we get to chat. And so before we get into it, I would love for you to just introduce yourself to your listeners, to our listeners, and tell us a little bit about you.
Oh my gosh, that's hard to tell us about.
I know.
The most vague question of all time.
It's like when the roles are reversed, if I'm on a podcast, I'm like, what the fuck do I even say?
What do I even say? I know. Yeah. It's funny. my founder and I also have a podcast, and I'm like, we're good on that. But the second I'm somewhere else, I'm on another podcast. I don't even know where to start with who I am.
Yeah.
There's just so many angles you could take. But I'm Mariah. I am, I'm 30 years old. I don't know.
I'm almost there. I'm 29.
Yeah, I'm 30. It's scary. I'm turning 31 in June. I'm a Gemini. Okay.
Okay.
And I work at Little Words Project. I helped build the company from, I would say from the beginning. I was the very first like legitimate employee. And I used to like make all the bracelets, and now I am the director of VIP relations, which essentially means like I do all of our like high profile celebrity VIP partnerships. So anytime there's a touch point with any sort of like high profile person, that would be kind of under my umbrella. And I also, you know, go to our store openings and our wellness retreats. And I would say I'm very much a face of the brand, which it's hard to title that. But yeah, I just go to a lot of things and mix and mingle with our customers and remind them why we're doing this and who we are. And yeah, I live in Jersey City. My whole personality is Little Words Project.
I think that was great. No, I think that was great. I mean, listen, I'm the same way. My life is my work and my work is my life. When you start a company or you're with the company from the beginning, it all just kind of like morphs together. Yep. So, I mean, my elevator pitch would be quite similar to yours. So I totally get it.
Yeah. I mean, I could go into so many things and like my hobbies and interests, and I love vintage clothes and I love going thrifting and I love being in my apartment by myself. I love being alone in my adorable apartment. Like there's so many little tidbits about me. I have a big family. I come from, you know, an Italian background. So my family's loud and I love my siblings and there's so much more about me. But I think when you have a passion in your career, that is something you really care about. That does sometimes become your whole being. And I very much identify with Little Words Project as like who I am. So yeah, I guess that's a good thing, but it is like all I talk about.
No, I get it. And I think, I mean, at least from an outsider looking in, and you can obviously speak more on this, Little Words Project is so much more than just like bracelets and jewelry. Yeah. It has such heart and soul and community and love and acceptance at its core. And you said that you've been there pretty much since the beginning. So for anyone that's listening that hasn't heard of Little Words Project, which if you haven't, I don't know what rock you're living under, because it is definitely like one of the biggest jewelry brands out there. I would love for you to talk about like kind of how it started, how you got involved at the beginning, and how your role has grown from then to now. I mean, working with high profile celebrities, getting bracelets to Taylor Swift through NSYNC. I mean, you do everything.
Yeah. That was like the craziest moment ever. And we definitely will touch on that. Go back to the beginning. Well, first of all, our brand is all about kindness and self-love. So every bracelet has a word on it. You're meant to wear it for as long as you need it. And then someday pay it forward to someone who needs it more. And that's really in an act of, you know, selflessness and thinking about others, but obviously prioritizing yourself first, wearing the word and fulfilling whatever that word is, manifesting it, fulfilling the prophecy, whatever it is to you. And when you feel the time is right, you know, sharing it with someone else, because that act is something that we really don't do that often. So as a brand, we've kind of become the only product that is meant to be worn and shared. And really is, you know, exactly that. We've seen so many stories of bracelets going from person to person. Like people are really out here doing it. You know, people are really passing them on and paying it forward. So that was our goal all along. Our founder, Adriana, was unfortunately bullied throughout her life. So when she started the company, she, you know, just wanted to create some kindness in the world. And I think she did just that. You know, she brought on some teammates and we've been trucking along and just kind of, you know, building it literally brick by brick. And in the beginning, I made all the bracelets myself with her. Like that was literally my role. I was a beader, which like so much respect to our beaders, because it is not easy. These are all handmade, these bracelets, and they are like, you know, teeny tiny, and they're so intricate and delicate and pretty. And yeah, I made a lot of bracelets for a long time. And yeah, then it just started to change and we needed me to do sales and wholesale and, you know, go to trade shows and start traveling. And obviously, like, I can't even pinpoint really how it happened. You just start, and I'm sure you can relate to this, you just start building something and you just keep building it and keep going and you just keep hoping and believing that it will happen. And over time, you know, with a lot of effort and a lot of heart, it does start to happen. You just have to, like, be extremely patient. So there were days where I was beating bracelets and I was like, where, you know, where is this career headed? How is this a career? You know, how do I build on this? And little things, you know, like we would work on our college ambassador program at night, but I'd be beating the bracelets during the day. You know, how do we continue to kind of push the brand and push the mission in those beginning days? And then, yeah, I did everything from sales to picking and packing the orders, to it was a lot of sales because I'm obviously a chatty person. So, like, honestly, my role was very I never, like, randomly was our finance team. Like, that was,
yeah.
Like, I was never going to, like, dive into that ever. But, yeah, I was always just, like, kind of that face of the brand. I just was at events and at different things. And Adriana and I, we did a lot in the beginning. We traveled a lot. And we still do, but it was different. You know, we were just on the road, trunk shows and trade shows and selling it and, you know, telling anyone we possibly could about it. But I always had an interest in that, like, celebrity VIP world. I think I'm good in those environments. I think I can, like, talk to anyone. So it never was scary to me. And Adriana even says now, like, there would be times where if we were going to walk up to, like, Swiss Beats, for example, at his, like, dinner at Art Basel in Miami, Adriana would, like, get cold feet because she's the founder. And she would be like, oh, my God, I don't know. Like, what if he denies us? I'd be like, no, move out of the way. I'll talk. Yeah. You know, and she would, like, let me. Like, she'd be like, all right, you go, Mariah. Like, I know you can do it. Like, I get she would get a little nervous because it's her baby, you know, and she doesn't want to get denied. But me, I'd be like, all right, like, I got this. We're going to do it. Like, he's going to love it. And, you know, they always did. So I just always had a little heart, I think, for just, like, celebrities and communicating with people that tell the right stories, people that are in the media or in the press and that we see as a, you know, a good representation of our brand. And I always was able to pinpoint who those people were, and I always wanted to try to get in front of them. So that's kind of where the role evolved into. Obviously, it's hard to go from a beater to what I am today. Like, it did take 8 years of
totally
figuring out, but yeah, it's been an interesting journey for sure.
Well, and I mean, you going from, you know, being a beater to doing what you're doing now is such a testament to small businesses. Like, especially when you start working with a founder from the beginning, you're going to wear a million hats. Sure, finance team may not be one of those hats, but you just kind of, like, morph with it as you go. And you're so busy, and you kind of said it perfectly. And I feel like I've done this too, where it happens so slowly and you have to be so patient and just be so sure on that, like, resounding why of, like, why am I even doing this in the first place? And y'all clearly have such an incredibly clear story, which I think is why you've had so much success. But, like, putting your head down and working, and then all of a sudden you look up and it may not even be this, like, massive moment, but it's a million little things that have built you up to, like, holy shit, like, we are giving bracelets to celebrities, or we are getting in front of people that we've only dreamed of having conversations with, or we're in Target, or all of these things that just seemed like pipe dreams so long ago. And it just kind of, like, it's hard to explain. Like, there's no clear cut process on how it happens. And it kind of shocks you too, because it's not as this, like, wow, pinch me moment always that you think it might be. It kind of sneaks up on you when you are working so hard and doing a million different things at all times.
I think the opening stores part, like, opening our own stores, like our 13th store, and in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, which I actually was there this morning doing an interview, and, like, how have we opened 13 stores? Like, sometimes Adriana and I look at each other and we're just like, what? Like,
yeah,
I'm sorry, 13 skills. And like, it, I don't even know how any of it happened. Like, I feel like I haven't done anything. Like, what am I doing every single day? Every day I'm like, what am I doing? Like, how did we get here? But like, somehow we did. And then like little things that are big things, like Madonna posted a story the other day with a bracelet on. And like a stack, like it wasn't even just one. It was like,
oh my God.
And we're like, what? Like, I'm sorry, Madonna. Like,
yeah.
Mother? I was just like, okay.
Hello? Well,
that's insane. And me and Adriana, like, we've been so busy. We like barely even talked about it, her and I, because we just like have not seen each other. We haven't crossed paths. And I'm just like, holy shit. It just starts to happen, but obviously not without aggressive work and aggressive dedication. And I think that's all a testament to like the team, all of us. Like, we really have put our heart and soul into this. And Adriana and Bill, and just their like relentless effort. You know, they never our founder and her husband, like, they never give up, they never back down, whatever that saying is, like, never give up, never back down.
Yeah.
They are that, and we all just follow suit. So it's been a crazy journey, and it is very unique to entrepreneurs to be able to do this. And I actually was asked recently on a panel thing that I was on, you know, a word of advice for entrepreneurs. And I actually don't consider myself an entrepreneur by nature, but there's like another term for it. Now, of course, I'm losing it now that I'm on this podcast. Somethingpreneur, I forget. Anyway, of course, Adriana tells me it because she just is so smart and just knows all the freaking words. But you're not the entrepreneur, but like, you're able to assist the entrepreneur in their dream, and you kind of make it your own. Really specific type of person, and I am that, because like, I don't want to create a product. I'm not inventive at all. Like, I don't like invent things. Like Adriana, she's always thinking of a new business. That's not what I'm about. But I definitely can push a narrative. Like, I can push somebody and push an idea and get things over the finish line. So yeah, you need that like entrepreneurial spirit, I think. And that kind of gets you all the way there. It's shocking every day what we've been able to accomplish with like a little $25 bracelet. It's crazy.
God, no, I mean, it's so cool. And like, when I say I'm so inspired by following you and Adriana and Little Words Project, like, I mean that. Like, seeing all the videos that you guys do, seeing what y'all are up to. And that's why I'm so stoked to have this conversation with you too, to hear more about like the bread and butter and like the breath behind what Little Words Project is. And I even loved what you said at the beginning about how the bracelets are kind of meant to be passed on, but whatever word you need, it's that concept of like, make sure that you're filling your cup before you're filling everyone else's. Yep. And I love that you touch on that self-love piece, because I think that is so important when sometimes we spread ourselves too thin trying to be there for other people. Of course, that like empathetic gene is really important, but if you're not like there for yourself first, then you can't really be the best version of yourself to other people. So I love that, you know, behind Little Words is doubling back and making sure that you're really checking in with yourself, loving yourself. And then once you feel okay, or once you feel fulfilled by whatever that word or that phrase or that manifestation is, you can then pass it along to someone. Like, that is incredible.
Yeah.
I love that.
Thank you. Yeah. That's the whole, and it's never changed. That is the cool thing I think about our brand. Like, we, you know, we've got new logo files and whatever. Like, we change our colors and our brand, you know, mission statement. But the brand ethos has never changed. It's always been wear a word for as long as you need that word, and then share it with someone who needs it more. It's always been that. And it's always been, you know, it's meant to be connected on our app or website. And these are all things that, like, you know, when Adriana started the company and she thought of the connectability of it and like the trackability of it, that's always been the bread and butter. Like, it's never wavered. So I think after 10 years of a little $25 friendship bracelet, we've been able to sustain where we're at today and stores and be in Disney. I mean, we have a store in literally in downtown Disney where people are beating bracelets in downtown Disney. what? I'm sorry. Disney couldn't just have done that themselves. They easily could have just put up a little pop-up and said, here are some shitty beads. Y'all can do this yourself. But instead, they were like, we want Little Words Project, because when people see that, they see community and they see kindness and they want to be a part of that. They, you know, anybody can make bracelets, and Disney knew that, but they saw us as an opportunity to spread the mission of kindness. And that's why I think we are where we are today, because it's never changed. It's always been about the kindness and the words of affirmation and sharing it with others once you're, you know, fulfilled in within yourself. So even like the Disneys of the world have seen that. And I think that's like one of the coolest parts too, with just how far that has come and remained so true to itself.
I mean, I have chills you just saying that, like Disney recognizing that in the community and the authenticity behind the brand. And I mean, you kind of said that, but would you say that that is your like number one advice for anyone starting a business or anyone wanting to create a brand or something sustainable? Because that's something that I've always thought is like, if you don't have a resounding why that you feel to your core, then what are you doing? Because I feel like that's not going to transcend and be communicated to your audience and get you through those like really late nights and those hard times and, you know, the times when things aren't going the way that, you know, you plan.
Yeah. I think the consumer, like just consumerism in general now and for probably for the rest of time, people are really, really intentional and mindful with their money, with where they're putting their resources, with their time, with their energy. So people don't, they're not going to buy into crap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Unless like, you know, you're shopping on Amazon for a couple little shirts before you go on a vacation. Like everybody's going to still do that, right? And those brands are – those like little type things are always going to stay alive. But the household names that we all care a lot about are going to continue to have more and more deeper meaning, because people just want to believe in something and they want to buy into something and they want to feel like they're doing something good for the world, for the earth, for the universe, for themselves. So yeah, I think if you're going to start something, like make it good, you know, make it, and not good that it's like the best thing in the world, but make it good. Like it's a good thing that people need. Right.
And yeah,
like people need words that are positive and they just need reminders and they need to feel empowered and they need to feel loved. So if the world needs more of that, that's what Little Words Project provides. We can obviously always do collaborations with, you know, Wicked the musical and like these really awesome things, but at the end of the day, even when we did our collaboration with Wicked, we made it about the friendship and the storyline of Elphaba and Glinda. Not sure if you're like a Broadway person.
Yeah, no, totally.
Regardless, like it was, you know, that's, it was embedded in the plot. We weren't just like, here's a green bracelet and it says whatever. It's like about defying gravity. What does that mean to you? Why do you want to, you know, defy gravity, right? So with everything we do, we always are just thinking of like being good to people. And I think that that's the direction of consumerism. So if you're gonna start a brand or you're gonna start a company, like make it help people in a way. And it doesn't have to change the world. It doesn't have to cure anything. But like you're going to be behind the eight ball if your product is just, it doesn't have a story. It doesn't, it's meaningless. I really do believe that people care about things with meaning. Again, doesn't have to be about kindness. Doesn't have to be about mental health. Doesn't have to be about women empowerment, but pick your thing, you know, and lean on that. Like you don't have to be something for everyone, but you definitely should be something, right, for someone, and make it, even if it's for a dog, like it could be a dog toy.
Right.
It makes your dog really happy and it's really good and it's solid. And like your dog is just the happiest dog when it has that item. Like that's what I want to buy. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
well,
yeah.
Well, and like you said, it doesn't have to be about X, Y, and Z. It needs to be about something that you also feel that you're passionate in, or something that you also feel is missing in the world, whether it's a community piece or it's a product. But just not something that just adding more shit to landfills, like something that you actually believe in.
Like people know it too. Like people can tell. You know, I like the Kardashians a lot. And I mean, I love them honestly, but I feel like Kylie's been like launching a bunch of brands, like one after another.
Mm.
And I'm trying to connect the dots every day. I'm like, now we have this brand and that brand. And like, good for her. You know, she's very entrepreneurial, obviously. And she's just like putting things out in the universe.
Right.
But the girlies are catching on. Right. Like, I'm like, girl, what are we doing here? And I hope it works. I hope it lands. And every time, like, I want women to win. But I also see that people are like, their eyes are open to read the comments, and people are like, wait, I'm sorry, didn't you just launch this thing? Like, what do you stand behind? And also, like, just the chaos of things can confuse consumers too. So yeah, I think just pick something and like stick with it, and just, you have to just believe that someone's going to care about it, even if it takes 8-10 years. I mean, because
right,
you will, honestly.
No, that's funny you say the thing about Kylie, because even when she launched her, I think it was like a seltzer.
Yes.
She did recently. And I'm like, don't you not even drink? Like, I'm pretty sure she's come out before, and like all their Kardashians have talked about how they don't really drink.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And like, her sister has a liquor brand, which we
– yeah.
And I'm just like, I love 818. I think that's like a really well done brand, you know?
Yeah.
So he's doing that so right. And it just – it's more so, I think, just entrepreneurial. She just wants to be a business person. And I think that that's great. But in our case, as a smaller business, I would say like, we've chosen the friendship bracelet and we're just like running with it. Obviously, we're launching little offshoots here and there, but it really is like the word bracelet or bust for us, you know?
Yeah.
And we're okay with that, because it's doing what it needs to do. And it's definitely like, it's really the mission and everything. It's just working in its own way. So we're definitely grateful for that.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I think I've learned from making mistakes through my own brand, is I have an idea or there's something that doesn't exist in the exact way that I want it. Mm-hmm. And so I got like very create happy, where I was just like creating these products and these things that I thought were things that I wanted or that the world needed. When in reality, when I took a step back, I'm like, no, there's actually a few companies that are really doing this really well. Mm-hmm. So I actually don't need to touch this. Like, I have gotten into like more of the ski apparel, because I live in the mountains now and love skiing. And I started doing apparel in the last couple of years and I'm loving it. And, you know, custom made hoodies, and have stepped into that world. And then this past year, I've been working on designing like actual ski clothes like Gore-Tex that you can go ski. Wow. And I started doing that. And then I've been getting samples in, and I've been looking at other stuff. And I met another girl in that space, and she's creating ski apparel with another brand. And I saw her stuff and I was like, you know what? That's not my lane. Like, she went to school for this. Her designs are so insane. I could never even touch this. And I love what she did. So I think I'm just going to stay in my like apparel lane that I'm in, that I'm doing really well, that people are loving. But it's a lesson, because, and I don't know, because I feel like you're also very creative. And I know you said Adriana is more of like the ideas. But it's hard, and I think it's smart to stay with what you know. And you said, like, word bracelets are your bread and butter, and that's what you focus on, and that's what you do really well. There's so many other things that I'm sure y'all could dive into and do really, really well at, but staying so specific so that when people see a word bracelet, they're never not going to think Little Words Project. Like, that's always going to be what it's associated with, which I think is another just great piece of advice as far as, like, business, or if you're going into a product focused business, it's just a good thing to remember.
Yeah, to really like hone in on what you know and focus on it. I mean, now we are, you know, 10 years in, so our founder is getting creative again, you know, launching little things here and there, and it's
totally
because it's like still in our realm, right? But like, we every once in a while we try to put a hoodie out, and like, the only time the hoodies do really well, honestly, and like our any sort of apparel, is sold inside of our stores, because people want to talk in person. But like, we put a hoodie on our website and like, it just doesn't sell.
Yeah.
I mean, it does okay, but it's not like it's not like when we launched a bracelet with Law and Order SVU and it like sold out within seconds, and we're like, what? Like, we're like, okay. Insane. But like, you launch a hoodie and people are like, oh, this is kind of cool, but like, I have hoodies already, like, you know what I mean, from other brands.
Yeah.
So because we're not the hoodie brand, so you know, you put a couple in the store and you call it a day. So yeah, you don't have to create everything, but if it is semi your lane, you could test it and do, you know,
totally,
as long as there's not a huge risk either. I think like, people take a lot of financial risks in business, and they just like decide to launch a whole other thing, and then it flops, and they're like, oh my God, I thought that I had the customer base, and you do, but really for your, I mean, our customer just loves a word bracelet.
Yeah.
And we can always, we give them more and they like it. They appreciate it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to get like new customers with those new things and stuff like that too. But yeah, staying in your lane, I think, is key, and testing things and trial and error is important. But yeah, we've definitely learned to stick with what we know and try to do that as best as we can.
And remind me how you and the founder initially got connected.
Yeah, I followed her on Instagram like 8 years ago, and I found, I mean, she had like a small following. Little Words Project was super tiny. I think it was the universe.
No, like, truly.
God, I don't know, because I can't remember at all why on earth I found her or how. We did not know each other prior. I literally found her on Instagram and I messaged her and I asked her if she was hiring. And she was like, I'm hiring like a beater. And I was like, okay. And then that was that, you know, like, it's not like we knew each other from college. We didn't. So yeah, I think the universe just like plopped her Instagram in front of my eyes. And I was like, I want to help this girl build this business. Like, I was just so random. And the rest, yeah, is history. I don't know. It's crazy.
Did you study any kind of like events or, you know, customer relations or anything like that in school?
Not really. I mean, I did like marketing, communications, like your average, you know, digital media, whatever. I always was interested in like celebrities in music and in influencers as it started to get hotter. I also like have my own TikTok on the side, which kind of like blew up a year and a half ago. Very, very, very randomly. So I feel like I just know the world so well, and not even influencers so much. Like I don't know that much about like who are the hot new influencers that are like posting their outfits, but I just know like celebrity culture, who's the founder of this cool brand, who's this new artist that's coming out and dropping a single, and who's going on tour with who. And like, I know their managers. Like I just like randomly know very random people. What events are cool? You know, being at WNBA All-Star Weekend, like as a brand, historically, you know, selling word bracelets, maybe it doesn't make sense to be at All-Star Weekend, but every time we've gone, we've had like really successful events there. And, you know, women's sports is at an all-time high. I mean, look at what even just happened in the last couple of days. I don't know how like privy you are to you know, March Madness stuff and women's basketball, but it's like such a moment right now. And I feel like I thought about that 2 years ago for our brand, you know, and how do we get bracelets on Caitlin Clark, because she's such a tastemaker. So my mind always goes to these types of people, and brands kind of need that, you know. They need a person who's like, has their finger on the pulse of like, not only what's cool, but like who's good, you know, who's a good person too. And what celebrity, sometimes like someone might send us something like, oh, you should work with her. And I'm like, wait a minute. She was a bully. First of all, she was like, she's a mean girl. We're not working with her, you know? And like, I be knowing, I don't know.
Yeah. But
that helps a little bit too. I don't remember.
No, that kind of answers it. I mean, clearly that's something that just comes naturally for you, and something that you're interested in is keeping up with all that. And I think another thing that's pretty imperative to any brand is having someone not only on the pulse, but like you said, like you had this idea to get more into women's sports 2 years ago. So having the ideas and being able to project things that could be trending, that could be happening later on, that's how you really, you know, get ahead of it. Because if it's already being done and it's been being done, then it's not as innovative and it's not as, you know, groundbreaking.
Yep. Yeah. So true.
Yeah. So I'm curious too, with like, I mean, you talked about how your role has changed from the beginning to now, how Little Words Project was taken from such a small business. And I don't know if you would still consider yourself a quote unquote small business, but how you've gone about scaling, you know, doing these massive wholesale deals and massive collaborations and having storefronts. Like, what does that look like starting from where y'all did to now?
Yeah, I mean, we also like financially bootstrapped all the way up until just the past year, when we like finally, you know, had an investor situation kind of take place. But it really was, I mean, literally sales equaled the survival of the business.
Yeah.
You know, 9 years. So that's huge, especially women owned businesses, you know, Latina owned businesses. Like, they're just not going the distance without funding. So, and the funding really helped us now, just in terms of stores and opening stores. That's obviously like a helpful thing. But prior to that, I would say hiring when you have to, trying to hire correctly, which is really, really hard. And yeah, you just feel those different pulses throughout time. And you say, like, it's okay, we got to hire, we got to bring this person on. You know, you realize that there's a void, or you realize that there's a gap, and then you hire. It's hard to say how it happened, because it really did. It feels like you close your eyes and we're still at the beating table. Adriana says it all the time. She's like, I still feel like I'm at the beating table. Sometimes, you know, when you just like think back, you're like, holy shit, I really still feel like we're there, but we're not. So, you know, you make the right connections, you meet the right people, you got to go to everything. You have to go to events, you have to network, you have to present your brand everywhere and hope that people still care about it 4, 5, 6 years down the line. And I guess I would say, yeah, I guess hiring, like, whenever you really have to, you know, it's scary to hire, but when you realize that your salesperson, who was me, is really good in brand partnership conversations, we realized we needed to hire for sales and push me over to partnerships, right? So like, Mariah, if I'm the first employee and like an integral member to the team, at that point, I shouldn't be shipping the packages anymore, because I need to be out in the world sharing the brand. So I move from beating and shipping to sales. And then I move from sales, we hire for sales. And then I now become, you know, partnerships. And you just start to like puzzle piece your people around. And a lot of times it's like your family and your friends. I remember for a few years, it was myself, Adriana, her cousin, her roommate from college, and like the beaters were like local friends that Adriana knew. Like, it was so familial for a while, because sometimes it just has to be. And then as that friend from college kind of outgrew that role, we knew we needed to hire more on, you know, on operations, someone who went to school for it. You know, we were finally like, wow, we need somebody to like run our operations, you know, who knows more. But that person helped us get there. So I think it's just like, and you know this too, like just from being an entrepreneur, like at a certain point, you do have to start kind of moving the pieces around and figuring out like, how do we expand this? Because if we want to open stores at the same time as being in Target and being in Urban Outfitters, like, you can't do it with 2-3 people, and maybe you can do like 10. Like, I sometimes we're like, we have way too many employees. I don't know. It just feels like too much, but it's not, because if you want to do everything, you gotta pay people and you gotta get them in the door, and you know, inspire them to be there and want to fulfill this same dream. You know, and that's the hard part too. Like, you're kind of, this is not like you're coming to work at Microsoft or Apple or, you know, a place that has this foundation that people believe in just by the name. You know, we're getting there, but you still, there's some convincing to do. It's like, you know, we're gonna, like, this is gonna be worth it, guys. You know, it's still a little bit. So we have to always find that balance too, and finding employees that are both really passionate but have some experience. And yeah, it's hard to say, but growth happens as people put their all into something and just like freaking build it, you know?
No, I mean, I think you said it perfectly. And I'm not even close to scaling as large as y'all have, but I think with every step that I have grown, it is such good advice when you think about hiring, is like, you kind of have to reach that tipping point where that person has either outgrown the position, like you said, or you just can't do something yourself anymore that you've been doing.
Yeah.
And finding an expert in that field, whether it's events, whether it's operations, whether it's, you know, sales, and seeing your employees for what they have. And also, I think there's something to be said about like keeping those same people and just shifting their roles around, like you said too, because someone that's started as a beater that's now running events understands so many levels of the business that is going to be so hard to teach to someone that's just like walking through the door. And I feel like y'all are, you know, a company too, that the employees that you do hire and take in really do have to believe mm-hmm. your why and your mission to their core mm-hmm. in order to make it this like cohesive unit. It can't just be like a 9-to-5 job. It has to be something that they really believe in. And I'm sure that that's harder to find.
It is hard to find. And that is something we struggle with now the most, I would say. And if you ask Adriana too, like what's her biggest hurdle as a founder and a CEO, like she says it every day, you know, it's hiring and it's finding the right people. And not that people aren't right, because they serve a purpose and, you know, everybody serves their purpose. But yeah, you just like, you got to find people who just want to do it, you know, and just mm-hmm. want to do it. And that's not easy to find, because there are a lot more of those, like, I just want to work 9-to-5. And sometimes those people are great too. Like sometimes we're okay with that. We're like, all right, well, they're not like, you know, a founding member of the brand, but they, you know, they want to come in, they'll do their work. They do good work from 9-to-5 and then they go home, and that's mm-hmm. okay. But to really get this to the next level, we all know, like, we just understand the assignment. We just know what has to be done here. And you're either like on board for that. Recently, Adriana like gave us like a state of the union to our team. And this was like a while ago, but still it was like this year. And she was like, if you don't want to be here and you just, it's just too much, like that's okay. You know, that's really okay. Because I'd rather people be here that are like so in it. It's like not even a question. So if you're even questioning it, that's okay. It just means it's not for you, and that's okay. But we can't change the environment too much. You know, there's little shifts, a little bit less emailing at 11 p.m. Like we all fall into that negative category, and we need to like do a lot better and just like stop already. But the environment is fast paced. We are a rapid growth startup. So like get on board. Or it might not be for you. You know, if you have to work events on the weekends, like that's not for everyone. We've had employees that are just like, it's not for me. And we're like, okay, that's okay. You know, Mariah will go to more. But like still, it's like, you know, I'll quit everything and have no life. But no, I've also found balance too recently. And that's been exciting for me, because it has been, you know, years of, I would say, like every day, every minute of dedication. And I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm so grateful, and I'm so happy, and I'm so fulfilled. But at a certain point, you do work so hard that you say to yourself, wow, okay, I actually don't have to manage this little thing. Someone else can do that. You know, someone else can do that. Somebody else can do this, or we don't have to go at all. You know, we're not like trudging through the snow anymore. We're kind of in a place where like, we could say no to things, you know, and we do. We now say no. And it's like, wow, that's like so groundbreaking. But when you are building something literally from the ground up, you often don't say no for years. So learning lessons all around. But I will say that the hiring piece has been hard. And you just hope that you find the right people that are going to care about things, you know, as much as you do, if not as much, slightly as much as you do.
Yeah, well, and even like the State of the Union that you said your founder kind of told your team, I think another piece of that too is you can't ever – like you have to have people that want to be there, like she said, but also people that want to give that extra, because you can't always like ask that of people to like care this much, or like, you know, it's – my business is my baby. Your business is your baby. You can't expect everyone to feel that exact same way. But in a rapid growing startup, you have to pivot. You have to put out fires. You have to be ready to mobilize if an opportunity presents itself. You have to be thinking on your feet all the time. And that's something that people have to want to do and have to want to be there for. So I think that's such an incredible message too, coming from her, to say like, that's okay. If that doesn't work for you, that's okay. And maybe this position isn't for you, and that's totally fine. This is just what we need in order to continue our like rapid growth.
And like, it's not forever. We say that all the time too. We're like, all right, guys, like, come on. If we just like put forth the most effort we possibly could for like the next 5 years, then we've been around like 15 years, like we're going to be in a really good spot as a business. Like you just, you can't expect a business to just like boom overnight and you have, you know, 100 employees and a million stores. Like, it's going to take time. So like, if we all are in for this ride, like, let's just like ride it out and like make it happen, you know, like let's take it there. And a lot of our employees do feel that way. The majority, everyone who's here right now is like, we are in, you know, this is our passion too. So that's cool. You know, when you can look around and see people that are just like really freaking dedicated and you're like, yes, like this feels so good. You know, the team feels so right.
Yeah, no, that's incredible. I love that. And it sounds like yet another reason why y'all are able to scale and grow so rapidly in such an amazing way. And with the rapid growth of not only the company, but what you've taken on, and I'm sure the last couple of years have looked a lot different for you, like as they've gone on. So how do you feel like you've caught up to that on a personal level? Like, do you have routines? How do you deal if you ever experience burnout or you're ever overworked or answering emails too much at 11 p.m. for like weeks at a time? And how have you caught up to that role within your own life?
I think mine comes a lot from the travel because I'm not home as often on like the weekends as like your average person. So a lot of it is finding, and this has only been like very recently, but finding, you know, maybe it's booking the flight a day earlier so that you can get accustomed to the LA time change if I'm going from New York to LA or whatever. Like that's just a small example, but you know, if I'm going to Miami for an event, maybe I would book a flight 2 days earlier and go visit my family in Florida for a day and sit by their pool and play with their dog and then go to my event in Miami. Like, I am trying to make the travel as enjoyable as I can. Another, like, my own personal tip is I absolutely love having – this is so random, but I love paying a little extra for my United credit card, which gets me into the United Club at the airport.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'll tell you, as a traveler for work, like, I'm going to go into the United Club. Like, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to eat. I'm going to get a snack. I'm going to get another snack. Like, because that helps me to feel better when traveling, you know, and I get extra leg room and I get bags for free. Like, that helps. Because if you're traveling so much, Adrian and I used to travel so much and we didn't have like the miles and we didn't have the right card. And we just like did it really like half-assed because we
just,
as we went, we'd be in like the last row on a flight. The flight is like literally the air conditioner is like breaking on our heads. Like, we were just like, what are we doing? We'd be crying on planes. We'd have layovers from snowstorms, which obviously isn't anybody's fault, but like, we would just be like, what are we literally doing? Like, and it's so much more stressful to do anything in terms of travel if the travel itself is shit. You know, you're just like absolutely miserable. So something I've taken from that is like, if I'm going to be traveling as essentially as my job all the time, like a potential Boston Marathon opportunity just popped up with my friends at New Balance like today. And they're like, hey, can I call you really quick? I'm like, if this is about the Boston Marathon, it is in 4 days. Like, what are we talking about? They're like, let me just, it'll be really quick. And it's literally next Monday. Today's Tuesday. So like, there's a chance that if something were to come through and an idea comes to life, like, I'm going to help bring it to life and I will be in Boston Sunday night into Monday, which is super dope. I can make that happen. But like, I need to have the I guess just like the travel hacks in order to make those things less miserable. So that's number one. Number two, I do very much care about my time alone and my like recharging my battery. So that is like being home, being by myself, you know, doing those self-care things, whatever that might be, if it's like going to Marshall's and going shopping and I'm not like the type to rot. I know I've been seeing a lot of like rotting on TikTok. I'm not like a rot girly, which I respect it, but I don't do that as much. I'm more so like want to get up and like go for a walk and then like make a really good smoothie. Like, I want them to be my things. I want to go get a haircut. I want to like do my little things. So as long as I can make time for myself whenever that is, because I'm so passionate and I'm happy in my life and at my job, the on-the-go nature of my role does not negatively affect me. You know what I mean? Because this is what we asked for. This is what we prayed for. So I could never complain. you know. Now, could I complain that trips come up so last minute that I'm like, bro, I am so tired. Like, I did not plan to be on another flight this weekend. Like, that's normal. But when it comes to opportunities, come knocking. You know what I mean? And that's the mentality that I continue to have. So you just have to find the balance in as much as you can. And now my boyfriend's in Denver. We're doing long distance. So like, that's another layer of travel now that I have to like think about, which is very interesting. So yeah, you got to just find the time for you. And then you also have to find balance. If it's at night, you know, maybe don't answer the email. I don't know. Or answer it, because sometimes you have to. I don't know. We're not the best with balance. Like, I have to definitely get better with it. And I'm like definitely learning how. This is like the year to figure that out, you know?
No, I mean, I don't think anyone has it down pat. And I've talked to so many entrepreneurs and business owners and people that work for themselves.
Yep.
And I don't think anyone has been like, oh, easy. Let me tell you exactly what I do to, you know, draw these lines in the sand in between my work and my life, or create this balance. I think it's a constant like work in progress. But, you know, when you have a job on the go, and that's why I wanted to ask that, because I completely understand that I'm someone that is go, go, go. I'm very social, very extroverted. I live in a vacation town, so I have visitors like a revolving door all the time. So I have to find these small pockets, because even though, and I'm sure you're similar, you get recharged from being around other people, but you also get recharged from being completely by yourself.
Yeah.
I also love alone time. I love traveling by myself. I love being home alone. I love going on walks by myself. And especially when you're working in social media and you're on a screen all the time, it's like finding these barriers to check in with yourself and make sure like, hey, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. Are you okay? Do you need to take a beat? And similarly to you, like finding those small pockets, like going to the United Lounge just to make you feel something like familiar, and you're not like rushing through the airport. You can like sit, chill, get your snacks, get your food, and it doesn't feel as chaotic. Mm-hmm. Like, that makes complete sense. And then having the days at home and coming back, like we said at the beginning, to an empty studio so that you can take the time to just like breathe and not talk to anyone when you've hit your word count or whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
Speaking of your boyfriend, I've struggled with this when I've dated guys in the past, because I don't know if you're this way, but I am just so used to like living my life selfishly. Like, I've always prioritized myself, my friends, and I'm more commonly not in a relationship. So it's more rare for me to be dating someone. So it comes a little less naturally to me.
Mm-hmm.
So how is that balancing? I mean, obviously long distance is a whole another aspect of that, but I've found balancing a relationship, it always takes me a second to like, oh, I have to prioritize someone else now besides myself and my job and all the things that I want to do. So how have you found that? Because y'all are kind of newly dating, right?
Yeah. Do you have a boyfriend today?
No, I dated a guy for a year. I'm actually flying to the beach with a guy this weekend. So we'll see.
No.
We'll see how that goes. I know. Dustin, he's flying me out, which is so freaking nice.
Okay.
I know. So we'll see what happens.
And you've met before, or this is the first time?
Yeah, we actually met in Vail. He was out here on a ski trip with friends that I'm friends with.
Cool.
And he lives back in Alabama where I'm from. And we met just like from skiing and hanging out with mutual friends. And I am so used to like dating boys. I only ever date these like immature, insecure boys that I essentially like mommy and therapist and like try to fix. And this guy like has his own shit, has his own life, and is very much a man, like flying me to the beach and doing all these things. And I'm like, whatever happens, this is a good lesson for me.
Yeah,
because I constantly find myself with guys that I should not be wasting my energy on.
Good for you. Wow. Oh my God. Yeah. Well, I look forward to hearing more about that.
Yeah, I will keep you updated.
And yeah, I'm newly a girlfriend, which like, what? Okay.
Yeah.
No, are you sure?
So yeah.
It's very scary. And I am finding that what I'm struggling with the most, I think, about being in a relationship, and this is like kind of sad, but it's just like so my truth right now, is that I actually had more toxic traits within myself than I even realized while I was dating.
Mm.
Because I did, like you said, I got selfish and everything was kind of about me, and like it just, the world revolved around me. And I do live alone. I do travel a lot. My work is my life. So there were certain little toxic traits that I'm like, I have to get rid of and like carry over. For example, the other day, I was at an event and then I got home and I just like didn't tell my boyfriend that I got home, right? Because, like, historically, I want to remain a mystery. Like, it's just, it's cool to be like,
yeah,
where is she? Where's Mariah?
What is she doing?
Like, what is she doing, right? And he's like, hey, babe, like, are you home? And I'm like, yeah. Like, what? I've been home for, like, 2 hours. What do you mean? Like, I've just been like, oh, I didn't even realize. Like, he's like, what do you mean you didn't realize? Like, you didn't realize what? Like, why would he say, hey, I'm home. Let's FaceTime now. I was like, oh, he's going to FaceTime me. He's like, I thought you would tell me when you got home. I'm like, well, you didn't just assume that I might be home and that you should just reach out? He's like, no. I prefer that when you get home from somewhere, you say, hey, I'm home. Let's FaceTime. And I'm like, to me, that's so like presuming that he wants to FaceTime me. And like, if he wants to FaceTime me, he should call me. But like, he's like, no, like if we planned to FaceTime when you get home from the event,
yeah,
so just like, hey, I'm home. And then when you FaceTime, like what is this, a guessing game? Like, all right, now she might be home.
I wonder if she's home.
Yeah, like, oh, I wonder. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm home. He's like, oh, I caught you. Like, I just like wanted to be so bad, so bad. So like, that is like, what, and that's such a small example. But yeah, I definitely, like, the roadblocks are my own because I'm just realizing, like, wow, I really have not been in a serious adult relationship in a while. And just like you, I've always dated, you know, yeah, boys, immature, childish, doesn't know what they want, not ready for a relationship, not ready, never ready. And
never ready.
In my current relationship, like, he's just like, so ridiculously different that scares me sometimes because I'm like, wow, like, are you sure? Like, when is the other shoe gonna drop? You know, like, when? And it might just not. And I was actually sending Adriana a voice note yesterday about this, and I was, because I sometimes just like have thoughts and I just have to like voice note them to someone. And I was like, you know what's crazy? We've always said that like guys have always just like slept on me, like just like everybody takes a nap, like they're just asleep, like, oh, Mariah's so cool, good night, like, and they just like don't do the right thing, they're just asleep. And in this case, my boyfriend is just like awake, like awoke man, and he's like, is legit, right? She's just a catch, and she, to me, she's a 10. So there's a chance that at some point everybody's person is awake. And I believe that that's going to happen for me. And it could be happening right now. This could be the person who has been awake the whole time and never slept on me, whereas every guy before him has slept on me. And I just always thought like, oh, everyone's going to always sleep on me. Like, no, I'm sure someone at some point is going to be like, yo, she's legit. Tie the knot. She's the one.
I
hope that it's this. You never know. I pray that it's this. And if it's not, that's okay. You know, you learn a lesson. But I'm hoping that at some point that all makes sense and that like it's true. Somebody will open their eyes to you. And to
that is so funny, the like taking a nap. Like that is – and I think that's why I get caught up in these cycles with these fucking boys who like don't know what they want because it's an ego thing. I'm like, no, babe, like wake up. Like,
yeah, wake up.
Have you seen me? Have you met me? Like, what do you mean?
What are we talking about? Why?
Yeah.
Another person is like, oh, unfortunately, I'm not ready for a relationship. I'm like, why? I'm sorry.
For what?
Are you well? Like, you're not ready for a relationship with me. Like, I'm just like, and like, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
You're like me, but also I am. I'm a great, you know, like you can believe that about yourself. You're a good person. You're good work in the world. Like you're showing up for people. You are a good person. So like you deserve love. It's just like as simple as that, you know? And so I know it's out there for all of us and someone is not going to sleep. I hope it's
no, better. I mean,
you know, yeah. It could be right. And maybe it's this guy flying you to Florida, to the beach. Maybe he's not going to be asleep. Maybe he's going to be with you this time. And he's going to be like, oh, okay. My eyes are wide open. Yep. All right.
I'm awake. You know, I will never sleep again.
I will never take a nap on you. Like, literally my boyfriend jokes, he's like, everybody before me like really slept on you, that's crazy, like I got sleepy. He's like, wow, I really am here, like thank you, like thanks my past, because he's just like, yeah, y'all were dumb.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and it's funny too, you talking about the like not letting him know when you get home. Yeah. I remember with my last boyfriend, I had such a hard time like, because I was so used to being independent too, like cluing him in on my plans or like, oh, I forgot to, oh, I didn't tell you that I'm flying to whatever tomorrow. Yeah. Like, oh, shit. Like, oh, I didn't invite you to this or oh. Like, I just always forgot to include him because I was so used to like deciding things last minute, you know, doing whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted without having to really tell anyone. So I also found that to be really hard to like catch up with, like sharing that with someone.
Yep, that is a pattern now that I have to – you know, sometimes my boyfriend will like, we'll go the whole day and we won't chat as much. And then and then I start to get like weird and I'm like, all right, I'll wait for him. And then later he's like, hey babe. So, yeah. Like what's good with that? Because the thing is like, where have you been? Are you good? And I'm like, oh, you can text me. And he's like, first of all, yes, I did. And second of all, like you can text me. Like I'm like, oh, true. Okay. I'm trying to mysterious still. Like, I just like still am like trying to be so
good. Point.
You know,
that is hilarious.
No, it actually is annoying, but it's great too because it's just like opening my eyes to how to be a girlfriend. How the fuck are you? Do you be a girlfriend? I'm like learning it every single day.
Well, if you learn anything and get any tips, let me know. I'm also selfishly excited that he's in Denver because maybe we'll get to hang out one of these days when you come to visit him.
I know. And I totally – like we went to Vail on a little couples trip, which was my first couples trip ever. Very cute. But that's Vail. So like Breck, I do want to visit at some point. And yeah, if you come to like that Denver area or if you ever are going to any sort of sporting events, I don't know. Like, and we just happen to be at the same sporting event, that could be really fun. So that could be a thing in the future. But yeah, definitely Denver things to come for sure.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. You'll have to keep me updated when you're out in Colorado. Breck is not far, and I go to Denver a ton. And my friend Kennedy Stedham, I don't know if you know her, or Jarrett, her husband, he used to play for the Broncos. I don't know if he still does.
No, she's not a cheerleader.
No, she's not a cheerleader. But she has a couple kids. They live in Texas now. I don't really know how sports work, to be totally honest. So I think that he's still on the team, but I really am not sure. Okay. But yeah, no, you'll have to keep me updated. And I know you have to run. I know you've got a million things. Before you go, I would love for you to leave us with like a quote, a word, something that's like really hitting home for you right now, or something that someone said to you recently that really struck a chord with you.
Ooh, that's hard. I heard a quote recently that I really liked. It does not have to do with business at all. But I
totally
did
fine.
Phone background because I just like really liked it. And it is, be yourself so the people who are looking for you can find you. And
wow.
I feel like that's so beautiful because it's like so many times we want to like fit into a box and we want to like be whatever. But then we end up around men or friends or whatever that aren't actually like suiting us because they're not really who we are, you know? So like being yourself. And I think I've learned that in my relationship, like I'm really opening up to him in my silly way. And in the beginning he thought I was shy and I'm like, I'm not shy. And he's like, well, you're being shy. And I'm like, no, I'm just nervous and I have to be cool in front of your friends. He's like, no, you don't. Like, just be you. You know what I mean? Like, just be you. And sometimes I find myself like shape-shifting in groups because I just want to like make everybody happy and make everybody feel comfortable. But sometimes it's not comfortable to be around me. Like, sometimes I can be extra and aggressive and loud and whatever. So yeah, be yourself and then the right people will find you and then you'll have your people or the right job will find you. I don't know. I think it can go for anything. The right relationship will find you. Like be yourself and put yourself out there in your most authentic way and the right things come to you.
Well, and I think that also plays into like as an adult finding yourself in your 20s and like I'm sure you can attest your late 20s now early 30s are the best time because you are so much more sure of yourself and really have an idea of who you are. And I think showing up in those adult relationships, friendships, business partnerships, whatever that is, and actually being yourself is so much more rewarding when you get accepted as that.
Yeah.
Because when you show up as yourself and people love and accept you, then you're like, oh, okay, like I actually can just be me.
Yeah.
And I don't have to wear these masks.
Yeah, everybody loves like who I am, and that's like so cool because you're just like authentically you.
Right.
And it doesn't scare anyone. The right people are just there, you know, so.
I love that. That is so sweet. Well, Mariah, thank you so much.
Nice.
This was so much fun. I'm so excited to keep keeping up with you.
Yes.
I would love for you to leave your handles, you know, for Little Words Project, for your personal account, TikTok, all the things before you go.
Yeah.
So everyone can follow you.
At Little Words Project on everything. At Mariah Grippo. MariahGrippo on Instagram and TikTok. My TikTok like once was a dating, like how to be single and how to like be thriving as a single woman. And now it's like, I don't know what it's becoming, honestly. I need to figure it out, but it's kind of like how to be in a relationship, how to cut old habits, how to be healthy. And then at some point it'll be like, here's my relationship. I don't know. I'm like, we'll figure it out, but I do I want to stay there for the girlies. I don't want all the 120,000 people that cared about what I had to say about being single and how to do that with power.
Mm.
I still want them to know that there's like hope in my content and that they can too fulfill what I've done or what I'll continue to do. So I don't want to lose the girls. So I need to keep up with that and still be a relationship like guru, but we'll see where that goes. But yeah, Mariah Grippo and Little Words Project.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we will catch y'all next week. All right. And that is a wrap on this week's episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. If this is your first time, I definitely hope that you stick around with Raw Intentions. We drop new episodes every single Thursday, anywhere you get your podcasts. And if you feel so inclined and you like what you heard, I would love if you would subscribe to us and leave us a little like, rating, or review. Just as we continue to grow and grow our community. If you want to give me feedback, chat about something you heard on the podcast, or have an idea for a guest or a subject that you would like on the podcast, then slide into my DMs. I dropped our Instagram at the beginning, but you can follow us at Raw Intentions Podcast to get all the updates, all the things, and yeah, always open for a chat, always open for a DM. But thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you had some amazing takeaways from this episode. Like I said, if you're new, we've got new episodes every Thursday with tons of episodes that you can backtrack and listen to, which I think are pretty good, although I might be a little biased. So thanks so much. Tell your friends. Kisses. Have a fabulous weekend, and I will talk to y'all next week. See ya. Thank you.